Good. Well, yes, like you, Lynn, I've been in raptures over the cobwebs, the frozen cobwebs, and just the intricacy of their incredible design of every minute thing which the snow brings out. Just absolutely awesome. And coming back to what Mark was saying as well, what's interesting to me there very much is that with the internet is that the rabbis had such a tight control over Jewish thinking. And that really worked. It was very, very difficult to bypass that. It was almost impossible, actually. But with the internet, all of that has gone out the window, really. That, you know, that stranglehold that they had on Jewish thinking. I mean, it's only the beginning and there's still a long way to go. But something fundamentally has happened there, and their fundamental stranglehold in the Jewish mindset, I think something by God's grace and mercy is starting to happen. So we're so, so thankful for that. And bless you all and thank you for your work and ministry and your love for Israel and Jewish people and helping to facilitate the Holy Spirit's working in that way so that the Lord's purposes can be wonderfully achieved. And we're all looking forward to that, to his return and to all the glory of God that is going to come upon our sad earth. Well, we are still, although it was a long time ago that we were looking at it, but we're working through the letters from what you called 1 John. And we've got to 1 John 3. Verse 16. So I'm going to just read that. 1 John 3, verse 16, and into chapter 4. And we'll just see how far we get there. And they're beautiful, beautiful letters. And they come to us from the Apostle John, whose heart of love for the Lord had, by God's grace, He'd seen and the Lord in such a wonderful way and experienced the Lord in such a wonderful way. And he had, by God's grace, this love for Yeshua, this love for Jesus was ever burning in his heart and to share with others in a very special way. It's talked of himself as the apostle or the disciple whom the Lord loved. There was a real special bond of unity between them on one level. Of course, it was with all the disciples and with us all. But there was something special there with John, and he's sharing all of that or seeking to do in his letters. So we got up to 1 John 3, verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And therefore we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Yeshua, our Messiah, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus the Messiah has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Lord, quicken your word to us and give us much understanding, that our lives will be transformed. And we all pray together in Yeshua's wonderful name. Amen. So it starts off in this wonderful way: by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And throughout our journey of discipleship in the Lord, this one fact alone, this one central historical actual happening, will so grow in our hearts as we see Yeshua more and more, and our lives become totally absorbed in his work, the sacrifice that he made for us, and the fact that the incomprehensible glory that the Son of God, the Son of Man, left the heavenly realm and chose to come down and to be manifest and to be born into this world of darkness. And he chose to come down and to live among us, and then to give his life in such a way for us. And so more and more this revelation of what happened at the cross and his atonement will grow in us and become more and more real to us, because it's such a cataclysmic thing to happen. Only something so dramatic for the whole universe could bring about reconciliation between a holy God and a completely unholy mankind. It would take something so drastic and so dramatic for the Lord's suffering to bring us through to a new life. And the reality of that, it's an amazing thing. We become a believer. You might have been a believer for 50, 60, 70 years, and yet that his atonement, his life, his death on the cross becomes such a central aspect of our very being, because it's just so unbelievably incredible that there on the cross, hanging there almost naked, despised, rejected, forsaken by mankind, almost as it were forsaken by the Father, left completely alone, carrying the sin of the whole world. We can't even imagine what it, words just fail us. Perhaps one person's sin you might just about be able to cope with. but the sin of the whole world, the darkness of the whole world, and he had to carry it all to carry us through to glory. And that's what real love is. That is what real love is. It is the, we see it in the love of a mother and a father. By this we know love. That's what love is. And as I said, just words fail. And it's a growing revelation of his love as we walk with him, and his love starts to burn in our hearts, because he laid down his life for us, and he chose, you know, when you lay something down, you completely give it up. He could have come down from the cross. He could have demonstrated his glory. He could have, all of those things he didn't. He laid it all down. He didn't answer back. You know, all this stuff was poured upon him, and he was like a lamb, completely silent, because he had to lay everything down for us. And that's what love is. That is the demonstration of all that love is. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And from that central fact of his atonement and the beauty of it and the glory of it, we've spoken a little bit about the glory of creation. And it is wonderful, you know, you look at the spider's webs and this and that and the other one, and the, you know, Lynn mentioned, you know, that no two microbes are the same, and there's billions and billions of things in a tiny little microbe. But compared to the glory of the suffering of the Son of God and his resurrection and his life, all of that, it loses its glory by comparison. The more we gaze on it, the more the glory of it, the wonder of it, the beauty of it infuses our life. And that grows in us. And then miraculously and wonderfully, because we know what real love is, it's a giving up as a mother or as a father, as God did. We also then begin this process, and it is a process, and it doesn't happen all at once, to lay down our lives for the brethren. Therefore, we ought to, and it runs exactly with it, because he laid down his life for us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Why is that? Because the brethren here is the body of Messiah. His people are his body on the earth. That's very, very clear in Ephesians, where Paul described in Ephesians 5 as a marriage, and later on in Romans, we are one body in the Messiah. We, his people, are his body on the earth. And because he laid down his life for us, therefore our response is to lay down our life for his body on the earth. And again, it's a learning process of maturity. In John, he talks about, I think we dealt with it a couple of times before, these three levels of little children, I'm writing to you fathers, I'm writing to you young men. We grow in maturity as believers, and we grow in our understanding and as our little abilities under the Holy Spirit to work through these things, to love one another and what that is involved. And we fail a lot and we fall a lot, and it's not what we would like to. And again, but we get ourselves up and we, okay, Lord, you will help me. And we have to be in fellowship. Actually, although I know there's some good things about Zoom, I'm not a great Zoom fan. It's not surprising because I'm a terrible anti-techno fan as well. But one of the reasons I don't like Zoom is because we have to have fellowship with one another to love one another. You can't have fellowship with a stupid computer. We can kind of see one another, but you can't put your hand around a computer. You know what I mean? You can't, so fellowship means you can't love somebody unless you spend time with them. And so to love one another means, you know, that I think we're going to see more and more believers isolating themselves. I'm sure you do know. I know lots of believers who, I've just given up on church or congregations or fellowship. I don't go anywhere. I don't do anything. I just want to be on my own. Well, I understand that because there's all sorts of problems. But you can't love Messiah's body on the earth if you don't spending time with anybody. So we have to learn, and it is a learning process to love one another, to lay down our lives for the brethren. So then John says, and we know, if you have the world's goods and you see your brother in need and you shut up your heart to him, how does the love of God abide in you? My little children, and this is a real, it's very easy to fall into this fault, and it is a fault. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And James says the same thing. It's very, very easy. And I'm afraid believers are very good at it, especially if you go along to some fellowships and congregations. You know, it's very easy to love in word, and just because we get into these habits. You know, we greet everybody when they're coming into the building, this kind of way of being. There's nothing wrong with greeting everybody when they come into the building. You know, I don't need to say there isn't, but it is very easy, sadly, to fall into the trap, and we need to be on our guard. Lord, help me. I don't want to love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And that's it. In deed and in truth. In deed and in truth. That's another level of love that God is leading us into. And then in verse 19, it says, when we do that, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So when by the grace of God and by the Holy, all this can only happen with the Holy Spirit. We need daily, hourly, by minute, the Holy Spirit's empowering that all these things might come into being through our lives. But when they do, when the Holy Spirit is helping us to live in this way, we have that assurance in our hearts before him. And you know how when our lives are lived in ways that are pleasing to the Lord in this way, of genuinely loving the brothers and sisters, as I know that you do, God does some things to our spirit, and you feel really that assurance deep in your heart that this is something which God wants you to do. And the warmth and the feeling that you had. I'll just give you an example. I recently went up to London. I haven't been very well, and I didn't get further than King's Cross. I had to come home, and because I was feeling very dizzy, because I've had, you know, I just haven't been very well in lots of areas. And I sort of was up there and not feeling very well. And then this guy came, he was begging. And it was incredibly crowded in King's Cross. And I was not feeling very well myself. And I was very tempted just to sort of to go past. In fact, I did go past because King's Cross is not the easiest place around, and there's a lot of people begging there as well. And this guy was a black guy, and he was obviously down and out and whatever. And I went past, and I just felt that kind of check. I thought, you know what? I should not have done that. I should not have walked past this man. I went back and we got chatting, and I gave him a little bit of some food, and he must have had a lot of input from Christian stuff, and I know God is wonderfully working amongst black people anyway, generally wherever you go, but he said, "Oh, God bless you, and God bless you," and I felt so blessed from that encounter. I got so much more back than I had given. I mean, I gave nothing. But by just giving myself a tiny bit to somebody, I just use that as an example. But when we give, we receive. And here the apostle says, When we do this, we know we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We have this assurance of living a little bit in God's truth and living as he wants. And then he looks at the opposite of assurance, of condemnation, and condemnation is a big issue for a lot of believers, and condemnation we might define the Hebrew word rasha, means to make or declare something to be morally wrong, and the Greek word used here has the meaning of to know something against one, to pronounce judgment, to judge, or to be judged by oneself. Often we have a problem with condemnation, and it's can be a very big issue. And with God's help and understanding of scripture, we can overcome that condemnation. But the best way to work through that condemnation is to be doing his commandments, because as we do what please him, then God knows all about that, and he's able to heal us. It's very easy to feel condemned because we have an enemy who wants to destroy us and to judge us, and he comes and he often, you know, points the finger at us, but we have to learn by God's grace to work through condemnation so that it doesn't become an issue for us, but we're only just resting on God's word alone, resting on his word alone. And we'll finish up here because a little bit earlier, because verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus the Messiah, and to love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he is in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. I love that because John's teaching is so simple and it's so deep. It kind of is a little bit circular in some ways, and is very poetic in that sense, because it kind of builds on itself. It goes, as it were, almost through itself. God's commandment is everything to do with faith in Yeshua, and everything to do with loving one another, and therefore obeying his commandments. And if that alone encircles our life. Just faith in the Lord alone, loving one another alone, we know that we're doing the things that please God. It's really simple, actually, when you kind of get down to grips there. There's nothing very complicated. Even an idiot like me can understand it. You know, it's like faith and growing in faith more and more and more and more in relationship and faith with the Messiah. Our Messiah is risen from the dead. That is to be the center of everything of our life, and loving one another, therefore obeying his commandments. It is simple stuff, folks. It is simple stuff. But it takes, as I said, it's a pilgrim's progress. And it takes a lifetime to work through and to work through. And the Holy Spirit wonderfully has been given to us to give us faith, to give us love, so that, and that's his will. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us right at the beginning, will be with us right until the end to accomplish his will, that those things grow in us by his strength, by his power, and carry us through to the goal. We've got a very tiny life. It's gonna, on earth, it's very, very short. It kind of like zip, and it's gone to the end. But it's eternity, where all of this stuff, all of our little stuff on earth, it's all going to be manifested and realized in eternity, in the glory that is to be revealed. So may the Lord help us in our daily life, simply, clearly, lovingly, holding on to his commandments, living through his commandments by the power of the Holy Spirit. It might be just in little things. Little things the Lord can give us in the day, tiny little things, very precious to the Lord, especially if we're feeling weak, we haven't got the strength. Those things are precious to God. The Holy Spirit will show us each day what we can, how he wants us to live, what we can do, and to help us. So it's all very, very wonderful. And this is his will for us. Believing in his name, focusing only on his name and on his work and on his resurrection power, loving one another, therefore keeping his commandments and abiding in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the wonder of your amazing, incredible work, Lord, which spans all of eternity. You said, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And when you opened your arms at Calvary, Lord, it was to redeem us in every aspect, from our sin and the sin of the world. Lord, how can we worship you enough? How can we praise you enough? Lord, and by rising from the dead, you've shown for every person that there is life and hope if we will only come. Lord, and by the giving of the Holy Spirit to those who believe, the power to love, Lord, we thank you that these things are really simple in their own way. But Lord, it's because we are so complicated, it's not easy for us to work out. So we ask for help. Lord, it's Monday morning and we ask for help this coming week to live a life of faith, to live a life of love, to live a life of devotion to you, of love to one another, and to live a life of the Holy Spirit. Will you please help us, each one of us, help us to be the blessing to one another and to everybody who you bring us along our way. We thank you that that's your will for our lives, and we rejoice in it. Lord, we rejoice even when we have to go through difficulties and sufferings, and Lord, life is not easy. We thank you that you have a perfect plan in the midst of that. So, Lord, help us and fill us, we pray, that our Lord Yeshua would be glorified in every aspect of our lives. Come soon, Lord Jesus, we pray, and let us be prepared. In Yeshua's wonderful name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.